On today's Gospel of Mark chapter 6, the Lord returns home to where he had been raised in Nazareth, and the people had heard all about his mighty deeds that he had been working and all the miracles he had been performing. But notice their reaction when the Lord comes back home. They're amazed, they're astonished. They keep saying, where did he get all this wisdom and knowledge? And it says that they took offense at him. They began to reject him. And it's really, in this short passage, I think three points that we could focus on in the gospel. The first one is where it says, Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. Another translation from the original language is, he was distressed at their lack of faith. And it says he was not able to perform any mighty miracles there apart from curing a few sick people. Very interesting point. That's the first point, is that the Lord in the gospel seems to respond to the faith of the people. If people have great faith, like the centurion or the people in that the Lord worked the miracles for, then the Lord did mighty deeds and mighty miracles if the people had strong faith. But if they had weak faith, the Lord, for whatever reason, decides not to do the miracle. So he responds to our faith. If our faith is great, we can have miracles. If not, we won't receive them. The second point in today's gospel is also rather interesting, and that has to do with the fact that the people rejected the Lord, the people he had been born and raised with. Why did they reject him? Well, perhaps he was just a little too familiar to them. They saw him every Saturday growing up in the synagogue. They went to his carpenter shop and he made tables and chairs for them. He was so familiar with them. And it says they took offense at him. They couldn't believe how this man who had come from their humble beginnings was now so popular and doing all sorts of miracles and preaching. And so the Lord gives the answer. He says, well, a prophet is only honored everywhere else he goes, except in his native place. And it says, among his own kin, and even in his own house. And so he was praised and accepted everywhere he went at that time. But when he came back to Nazareth, it says they took offense at him and they rejected him. Rejection is a very painful feeling, a very painful experience. And the Lord once said that as they treat me, so they will treat you. Some of you might also experience some rejection when you're trying to follow Christ. Maybe you're a convert to the faith. And so I think many of you are. Maybe it was a difficult journey for you to come into the church. Maybe your parents or relatives struggled when you came into the church, and maybe they even rejected you for some period of time, or maybe even permanently. And that's a very difficult and painful thing, to be rejected. But the Lord says that it sometimes will happen. And in fact, it happened to the Lord himself. It might be happening to some of you. Or some of you, you know, might be trying to live your faith and you're not, maybe your son or your daughter says, you're crazy, you know, you're going to Mass every day or you're really so involved in the faith. And they might not like that. They might give you some resistance or some mild persecution because you're really trying to practice the faith. Notice it's the people that are closest to us that can hurt us the most. Even in today's gospel, the people that the Lord preached to in Galilee and other places hailed him as a prophet, but in his own hometown, that's where they made it difficult for him. And so if you're experiencing those things, well, you can take comfort and consolation because the Lord also was rejected by his own relatives, and even by his neighbors and people he grew up with. The third point, and the last point in today's gospel that we should talk about, is the passage that causes a lot of confusion, because the people say, is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, are not these his sisters that we know? And it says that they took offense at him. Now, the point here is that many of our wonderful brothers and sisters of other denominations who love the Lord and who love Scripture have a problem because they say that this passage says that Mary had other children. And yet the Catholic Church says that Mary was only the mother of one child, and that was Jesus, the Son of God. How do we respond to that? Well, first, we need to make the distinction between what the Bible says. Nowhere in the whole Bible does it say that Mary had other children. It refers many times, four or five times in the New Testament, to the brothers of the Lord, or to the sisters of the Lord, but never says that they were Mary's children. So we can respond by saying, first of all, in Aramaic and Hebrew, that word, brother or sister, also included other relatives. It included aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews and other relationships. And we can show this very clearly in Scripture. For example, we could look back at Genesis chapter 11. It says there that Lot was Abraham's brother. But if you look closely in other passages, it turns out he was his nephew. So the word, but the Bible says, calls Lot Abraham's brother. In Genesis 29, it says Laban was the brother of Jacob. But again, if you look closer, he was actually his uncle. So again, the Bible refers in the ancient languages to the brothers and sisters of a person. It doesn't necessarily always mean a blood brother or coming from the same womb. It would also refer to the case of relatives and cousins, as it does here in the Lord's case. Another passage you can refer to is today's gospel, Mark chapter 6. The people say, "Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary?" If you look to the original language, that word, the son of Mary, refers to one child from Mary's womb. It does not, they would have said, "Is this not the carpenter, one of the sons of Mary, or one of the children of Mary?" It doesn't say that. Scripture clearly here says, "the son of Mary." And then it goes on to name the brothers, the relatives, the cousins, whatever, of Jesus, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. Another thing that can be helpful too is if you look at the finding in the temple. When the Lord was 12 years of age, he stayed behind in the temple. When Joseph and Mary go to find Jesus, there's no indication in the author Luke's account or the other accounts of any other children besides the Lord. But then some will say, well, what about Joseph and James and Simon and Judas? Well, how are they related to the Lord? Let's take, for example, the case of James and Joseph. As it mentions here, we learn from other accounts in the gospel, Matthew 27 and John 19, that James and Joseph were actually the sons of Mary, the wife of Clopas, and she was the sister of the Blessed Mother. So that's why it refers to them as the brothers of the Lord, because they were Mary's sister's sons. So they would be called the brethren of the Lord, or we would call them the cousins of the Lord. And that would be the same for Judas and Simon. There were other relations to the Lord. But then some say, well, in Luke chapter 2, it calls Jesus the firstborn of Mary. So if you have a firstborn, it must mean that there must have been maybe a second or thirdborn. Well, the way to answer that is to let them know that whatever child opened the womb, that child was called the firstborn, whether or not any other children were subsequently born. That was the title of prominence given to the first child. And this can be shown in an ancient tomb. Archaeologists discovered a tomb around the time of the Lord. And on the inscription on the tomb, it said that the woman who was buried there died giving birth to her firstborn. Okay? So that would be an example of obviously no other second or third were ever born. But then there's another passage in Scripture that causes some problems. People say, well, the Bible says that Joseph knew not Mary until she gave birth to her son. And the word until, they say, well, that means it happened after the fact, that they then lived as husband and wife in physical relationship after that fact. But of course, the answer to that, again, in the original language, the word until only means up to that point. It doesn't, and is not referring to anything beyond that point. And a good example of that is in the Old Testament, the second book of Samuel. It says, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children until the day of her death. Okay? Now, does that mean she had children after the day of her death? Of course not. It's only referring to up to that point. So, and these are some things that can help to clarify to our well-meaning brothers and sisters of other faiths who perhaps don't understand why the church teaches what it does. And the other point to mention is at the foot of the cross, Jesus, as he was dying on the cross, if he had younger brothers or sisters, according to Jewish law, they would have had to then take care of their mother. But since Jesus had no other, since Mary had no other children, Joseph had died at that point, Jesus was an only son, Jesus had to look around for somebody else to entrust his mother to, and so he chose John, the son of Zebedee, as the beloved disciple, and said, this is now your mother, and this is now your son. So these are all some points that can help in perhaps looking at this passage in a different light. Certainly, the church has taught this infallibly since the earliest days in the writings of St. Ignatius, St. Polycarp, St. Irenaeus, Justin Martyr. They all hold to the Mary's perpetual virginity, that she gave birth only to Christ, and that was a miraculous conception and a miraculous birth, and Mary remained a virgin before, during, and after the birth of Christ. This was officially defined in a papal declaration in the year 384. It's in the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, where we call Mary always virgin or ever virgin Mary. But one other interesting point is that it's not just the Catholic Church that believes this. If you read the writings of Martin Luther, John Calvin, and Ulrich Zwingli, the three founders of Protestantism, each one of them in their writings also defends Mary's perpetual virginity, which is a wonderful thing. The founders of all the major Protestant denominations, Calvin, Luther, and Zwingli, in their writings, all claim that Mary only gave birth to one child, and that was Jesus. So that's another interesting point to share if it happens to come up in discussion. One thing to keep in mind, it is true, though, that Mary had no other physical children except Jesus. However, every one of us today at this church is Mary's spiritual son or daughter. And so she, even though she only had one child, she has millions, perhaps billions, of spiritual sons and daughters. And we need to always go to the Blessed Mother as truly our spiritual mother, who loves us so much, and it's her role to help keep us close to Jesus, her divine son. God bless you.